This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Have yourself a very merry Christmas.
Welcome to the Trim Healthy Podcast. Gather round as we share some things with you on Christmas Eve Eve. It's going to be a magical time. I'm here. Serene is here. Pearl's here.
Okay, but Serene started with John's the wrong here. Lyrics.
And Les is here.
Let the Yuletide glow.
And we're going to have a merry little podcast.
All right. As he's saying this, he's videoing himself. And Serene said, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let the Yuletide glow.
Okay. It's the feeling that you feel, not the words that you say about the carols.
What's the normal word? Let the Yuletide what?
No, have yourself a merry little Christmas, and may your hearts be bright, right? Oh, everyone's yelling at us right now.
What's the Yuletide do? No one knows. No one in the room knows what the Yuletide does. John.
Well, listen, it glows
me. Please access all the knowledge of the world through your cell phone and tell us. Anyways, it's the Trim Healthy Podcast, people. What's up?
And it's Christmas.
Let's just chain up John Sullivan, stick him in a back room. He's a bit of a Grinch at Christmas because he's, you know, because some
does he grinch
morons
up?
Make it like only about, you know, what do you call it?
The commercialism. Serena, it's so funny. Every year you and John debate Christmas.
No, but listen, I'm not saying he's a moron. Just the fact that some people have commercialized Christmas and taken all of the – hey, John, I'm talking. Taken all of the just the beautiful, intimate – family.
Got it, Serene, but you've invited another debate. Moments.
Well, then he's thought that Christmas should be out the window.
You invited the debate. We've already had the debate.
No, I'm not. I'm saying it's not his fault.
Gals.
People have turned him off, but we can turn him into the right way.
Daddy. It's make the Yuletide gay.
Well, glow was a better word for 2020.
I think you were feeling it.
Glow. Yes.
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 There you go.
It was G-E-I-G-H.
No, I'm lying. Maybe people could say it that way. There'll be no
intonation.
Yes. Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
It's Christmas Eve Eve.
Merry Christmas, John.
It's the eve of Christmas Eve.
Yeah. We're sitting here in the pod loft, as Dan has named it, because there's no potty cabin anymore. Because Dan's just gone up in the world, you know, financially and as a name and a brand, and he called it the Pod Loft, and since then I haven't been able to call it the Paddy.
And he always wears the wool pant or the Miami Vice.
We bought them?
Like, Miami Vice.
Special shirt.
Yeah. Is this a Miami Vice shirt? I thought it was more like cult leader. Like
the Miami guru. Vice shirts are where they wore the pink shirt unbuttoned with white jacket over top.
Lisa's got a singlet high underneath, which is
good. Anyway, we're sitting here in the pod loft, and my newlywed son, Noble, lives here now with his wife, Megan, and we're sitting next to their first Christmas tree together.
They're not here.
They're not here. We kick them out on Tuesdays when we record. And isn't this cute, though?
It is very cute.
You know, do you remember your first Christmas tree together with your significant other?
Ooh, can you just say your beautiful husband or wife?
No, because Danny's in the room. John's in the room.
But they have a husband or a wife. I mean, a wife.
We only have wives.
I hate the term significant other. I hate it.
Well, I'm sorry. You use your own term, lovey. Oh, I love you. It's Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. You love me. Anyway. A beautiful...
He's your partner.
Yes. Okay. She said, what should she call her, Steve?
No, I think boyfriend. I like the good old-fashioned stuff.
I love that she calls him her honey. I love it.
Yeah,
you don't like so boyfriend?
Good. Oh, it's so good. I hate the word boyfriend.
Significant other could be anything. A fish. Anything. It's just so vague.
Yeah, it's like it's not me. It's an other, and it's significant.
Oh, okay.
It's too light. It
sounds
I'm
insignificant.
With you.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's low sauce.
Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me.
It's Christmas. I forgive you.
Eating worms.
Okay, what were you saying? Here we are.
And I was saying, do you remember your first Christmas tree together?
Yes, I
do. With your husband.
I do.
All I know is that we did not ever, ever have the money to buy even a ratty tree, right? So we always chop them down.
Me too. And they were new ones.
And they hurt. They weren't the right pines.
They poisoned you every time you tried to decorate.
And all that was left on the floor, the pine trees did not stay on the tree. They fell
mean the
on
needles.
The, yeah, the
you
pine
got you
needles.
A Hobby Lobby tree. It
no,
was
no,
out
no,
front
I
of Hobby Lobby.
I couldn't afford Hobby Lobby.
No, we went into the bush of the Tennessee.
We had to always cut them down. My Charlie, I'd be like, go get us one, honey. And we lived, our first year was like in the city of Nashville. We lived in an apartment. Oh. So he just went around somewhere on some land and cut down this little.
He was like the Grinch.
Yeah, little pathetic little tree. But oh my goodness, I loved it. What happened was there was no needles left on the tree. But you know how back in the day,
by the time
you threw the silver tinsel on
yes.
it and you just threw it and hoped it land?
Yeah, the handful of tinsel.
Yeah, so. Basically, by Christmas Day, it was just sticks and silver tinsel. I have a feeling of love about the tree, though. Yeah.
In those years, did you say, I am poor and sad?
No. Oh, my goodness.
You never thought that?
Never.
Okay.
I was like, I can't believe I have my own kitchen to cook in. Like, it was huge for me.
Yeah.
And I can't believe my walls are pink and I painted them. Pink walls, I did.
By the way, it was an apartment right in the middle of Harlem almost.
Yes. And I'm like, I can't believe I have a husband who loves me.
Who worked at a pawn shop and gave blood on the side because there was
a pawn shop.
P-A-W-N.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And he gave blood on the side because they were so poor. But she was just queen.
No, I never ever remember having feelings of we poor and hungry. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I remember my first Christmas, we actually went back home to live with my mum and dad.
Yeah.
Because
you were poor and hungry.
We were poor and hungry. And I think our truck got repossessed and we couldn't pay the rent on a cheap apartment because I think probably he went AWOL from the army, something like that.
Yeah, that's right. You guys got evicted from that apartment.
Good on you, mate, eh? That was a really tough year. And then the car we were borrowing from a friend. We had to babysit some dogs for some extra money. And I think we may have put them in the back seat to go take them for a walk in a park to this car we were borrowing. And that lady ended up taking us to court because there was dog hairs in her car when we gave it back.
Yeah, you used to make a lot of people mad.
Great life, eh?
Did you think, I am poor?
No. I felt so rich and loved. And our first Christmas tree was one of those ones we went and cut down to. They poisoned you because they your hands became inflamed with a rash after being poked so many times. Mm. Remember that, Pearl? They were very. I don't know what.
Dan, tell us about your first Christmas as
married
as Mr. Valdez with Lisa.
Sure. So, I worked at a friend's landscaping company. It's the closest I've probably been to slave labor.
Yeah.
It was hot. 12-hour days in Alabama.
Oh, Alabama.
It was so hot. I slipped once from fatigue, and I was pushing a mower up a steep hill in the rich neighborhood.
Oh.
And the mower came screaming down
motion.
In reverse, going to go over my head, and I roll out of the way at the last minute to have this mower go all the way down the hill, jump, and launch into the woods. I literally walked off the job site at that moment. I didn't even find the mower. I didn't care. My partner got it. He took care of it.
How many years before Christmas was this?
It was on Christmas Day.
No.
No, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
We had no furniture.
Mm-hmm.
We had a cooler turned upside down as our table.
Yeah.
We sat Indian style around the cooler.
Did you feel poor and sad?
Never, not once. I've known that I've been a rich man my entire life.
Yeah.
Even back in the single mom macaroni and cheese days.
Yeah.
Never. We ate every meal. It may have been mac and cheese and hot dogs, you know, multiple times in a row.
But you know, bringing us back to that mower story. Now, you were back. That was Danny of the Coke drinking life back right? Coca-Cola.
I rocked pasta.
So these days, you probably would have pushed that mower. And
bag of lentils would be instead of mac and cheese and hot dogs. It's 50 cents from Walmart.
What are we talking
he
about?
He was saying he was so poor, they were just sitting
around
that.
Yeah, but
he
didn't choose lentils. He would have chosen ramen
noodles.
No,
that's what I'm saying. But now.
Now. Yeah, but all I'm saying is now, you know, with your push-ups and your much better life, so you would have pushed that mower all the way to the top, Dan.
No, now I would never show up to a landscaping job.
Oh, okay.
What?
Too good for that, are we?
Not too good for that.
I'm
my
not
sons
too good.
Work landscaping.
No, I'm not too good. I'm too wise.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Hey, but you know what? Speaking of all this, it's funny that you directed this in this sort of vein, because Serene's got a message, really, and it's all about
identity. Oh, I don't have
identity.
A teleprompter message.
No teleprompter, but what you were saying to me on the phone, I think it really relates for Christmas.
Actually, I didn't want to say it at all. I said,
and first Christmases and what we think about ourselves.
Well, I didn't want to speak about this. I'm so sick of speaking about this. I'm so done with speaking about this. And I said to Pearl, I sound so narcissist. Because every time I have anything to bring, it's because of what I've jolly well been going through personally, and I hate that.
Yeah, but it's said, like, you know, when you go through things, you come out richer in a way, if you allow yourself, richer in knowledge and richer in strength. You can either do that or you can just become bitter and weaker. And I think because you let everything be a learning experience, Serene, you've learned through it, and whatever you learn, you're passing it on. And I've been blessed by your musings.
You're like, anything on your mind, anything you could bring to the party? I'm like, nah, except for the stuff I've been going through, and I've got this new little revelation on that. And she's like, bring it.
Well what else can you bring?
I feel embarrassed to bring it.
What else is there in the world?
Especially because of what I'm about to bring means I wouldn't be bringing it had I really understood
Coach Randy Lane would tell us to bring out the personal, vulnerable, and authentic.
Okay, so just
but you need to, if you,
room, you have to explain this, Dan. Coach Randy Lane. Okay, explain.
Shout out. Oh, Coach Randy Lane, he's the guy that basically, when we first started the podcast, he came every month. He's from California. And this guy trained Ryan Seacrest, Jimmy Fallon or Kimmel, one of the Jimmys.
Oh, I don't know who anyone is.
Kimmel, yeah, a lot of celebrity hosts. He was the guy that sort of said, hey man, here's how we can brighten you up, get you ready for TV, right? He's a coach. He's a host coach.
And he was very frustrated at us.
Yeah. We were the disobedient clients. But I thought his stuff was really solid. And we do a lot of what he did without knowing it. We never think about it. None of us.
He was a lovely Californian gentleman.
He told me to bring things like pop culture.
Yeah, that's like, true.
You just need to bring some pop culture and just what things that are very current. And I'm like,
Serene doesn't watch TV or get on the internet.
So that's Randy Lane. He was with us in the early years.
But he did always say bring personal experiences,
Serene. He talked
Serene,
a lot
so
about
why
being
doing.
Vulnerable was the one of my... the biggest takeaways for me.
Well, I'm being
I'm not so vulnerable
here today. You're going to think I am like the most grossest individual in the world. But I tell you, I fought against these feelings and these thoughts that came into my mind. I realized they were of the dark side and I fought against them. But I'm just going to be vulnerable and tell you. Okay, so just having gone through I miscarried about almost 3 months ago, but I've actually only I'm still kind of like at the tail end healing, but
you have
but
healing
not quite
now,
done with it yet.
But you at least you know what's going on.
I know what's going on, so I'm almost there. I see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I've had a crazy ride, and but in this ride, I mean, because we've talked about identity for a long time here at the podcast, so I thought, hey, I don't have problems in this area. You know, I've got an identity that's positive, and you know, but I found myself being the girl who's the bleeder, you know, the bleeding woman that needs concern and prayer and compassion. And like when I'd walk through the doors of Walmart, in my mind, without even realizing it, well, I caught myself a couple of times and I spanked myself. But as the doors, electric doors open, you stand and I'm like, oh, here I am, everybody. You know, be a little kind to me because you don't know what I'm going through. You know, like my identity was the girl with the problem.
You were like a full millennial.
Yeah, I was so like you better
goodbye
smile
to all
nicely.
Our millennial
hey,
listeners,
you were,
Dan.
You were a millennial in 2020. Like this year has been so hard for me.
Yes.
It's like, what has personally been hard for you at all?
Can we not like diss the millennials too much?
No, Pearl.
They do get called out.
I am a millennial.
Okay. Dan is totally a
millennial. I'll say what I want about Mexicans and millennials, the two M's.
Yeah.
That's my territory.
You're allowed to say whatever you want.
So anyway, back to this.
Back to you.
I want to get over it and done
back
with
to
it.
Back to you.
Sick
you.
Of talking about
and you
this
are doing,
thing.
Bringing this for a point.
I'm bringing it to a point. But then.
Is it a Christmas
like,
point?
And then I tell my. No, it's not like I thought the whole year was bad. Yeah. And I wasn't even thinking that what I was going through was worse, the worst thing in the world. But I just remember having this identity of like, yes, I've got this issue and it's kind of who I am right now. But I remember walking up the stairs once here to a potty, and I had just maybe gone to the doctors the day before or whatever. And I just remember thinking, ooh, I've got some candy to give to Pearl, like a treasure to give her. It's some more information about my issue. Like, won't she feel like she'll have some more reason to feel compassionate for me? And it was this weird way of thinking. And as soon as I'd think these things, I'd be like, oh no, ridiculous. Don't think that. So I don't want you to think I nested in it. But I just realized how easy it is for us to almost enjoy negative attention, like almost feed off of it and almost be like almost embrace the bad. Of course, I wasn't wanting to, but I'm just trying to explain it that there was like this area that was easy to slip into. And it's not like I ever did embrace it, but just maybe the whisperings of the enemy that are there. And I just, even when I walked through the journey with my son Arden years back, and for new peeps in the room, he was battling with a very aggressive kind of cancer that was just, that took him down really, really quickly. But a miracle has happened. He's just amazing today. But I just remember at the time, like people feeling sorry for us and what we're going through as a family, and realizing I don't want to identify as a family that's going through it. You know, all things are hard, because that pity is not healthy for me. And I know that it's good as people to be compassionate to those around us, and I'm encouraging that. I think that's great. But as the person going through it, I don't think we should be seeking it out, because I think that's because we're starting to wear it as who we are, you know, the person with the issue.
And I think it's fine when we're going through things, like, you know, we would ask you and you would share, and you shared here. It's not like you have to stuff and pretend you're perfect.
No,
right?
No. I wanted people to pray. So, you know, I think there's nothing wrong with sharing the concern, you know, I still need prayer, blah, blah, blah. But it's different in asking for prayer or being able to share, you know, what was going on, or a worry that you have, but actually walking around with this is who you are.
Yeah.
I just found in glimpses that I'd walk into the door on Sunday morning and think, oh yes, I'm the woman that's going to need prayer today. And I'm the woman with the issue. I can hardly put it into words, because it wasn't really a thing that was of words in my mind. It didn't come in words. It came as this feeling like when you walk through something and then you're going through a problem, that the problem becomes your identity. And I saw danger in that. And since then I've realized, as I walk through life, if I ever go through a hardship, I never want to make that hardship my identity, because all I'm doing is I am stamping nails around me, like keeping the coffin down around me and saying, this isn't not just something that I'm going through. This is actually who I am right now. But if you say this is who you are right now and embrace that for the present, it almost extends it into the future.
Yeah.
And I was telling that to Pearl, because I remember thinking, it's so easy for me to think, oh, I got some new information, I'll call Pearl up. This is something I get to talk about.
Yeah.
But you don't want that negative attention, right? It's not healthy.
You know, I mean, I know exactly what you mean. And I do, like, I'm glad that you shared your issues with everybody, just so people need to be aware, because people want to pray and people want to bear.
Meaning those on the hilltop.
Family, yeah, people right? want to bear one another's burdens. And I think that you shared things that you're going through even here on the potty, and I think that's fine. I never saw you wear it as an identity, Serene,
I never did.
Ever.
I never did.
But
the fleeting thoughts would come. I never did. I want to clear that up. I never did that. But it's just like if I'm driving 60 miles down the road, sometimes I've had a crazy bucket thought. And I don't ever want to kill myself. I mean, I'm for life, but sometimes I've had a crazy thought. Just what would it be? It'd be just so easy just to ram into the medium. Or if I see scissors on the desk, I don't know. Am I a weirdo? But I've thought, whack off your hair. Like, just the thought would just come, just whack it off.
I have these psych. I'm so glad you're saying this. Yes.
And I'm walking past. I don't want to, but what if I go rogue? What if I just do it?
Mine are way worse, but yes.
So bucket thoughts come into my brain, and it was more of what I call bucket thought, where I don't want this. And as soon as I thought it, I thought, no, disgusting thought.
Well, I think you're bringing awareness to it. I don't think, I don't even know that it's, I mean, Serene, you are with words, you're calling it a disgusting thought. I just think it's a thought that we don't need to wear, because we're not that girl, right?
Right, no, yeah, and it was an awareness that it was, that I would find myself on a precipice, and that this bucket thought would come, And if I hadn't called it a disgusting thought, I'd slip right into that bucket thought and embrace
it. Well, I think it's just so comfy, cozy to be the one that needs that extra special attention, right? It does bring a little bit of comfy coziness. I mean, I know, and Christmas is coming up. I can look back. I mean, we all shared our first Christmas together, but I can honest, if I'm being honest, look back at some Christmases and see Pearl there, and she was wearing, who was she? I mean, Pearl, I was that girl that was just, I couldn't really fully.
Actually, I have a strong memory of you coming to me on Christmas Eve saying, I don't know what's, oh, what's wrong? Because I don't think I complain about anything, but I just don't feel happy.
Yeah, well.
Do you remember that?
I remember that because I was sort of being real, you know, true to my real thoughts and feelings, and I thought that's what you do. And then there were times when I wake up on Christmas morning and maybe I just felt a little hurt by something my husband had said. And I really didn't think that I should fully embrace my happiness of the day, of the Christmas day. You know, I'm that girl that sometimes my husband says mean things to me and it just hurts. And so I'd be, you know, Christmas Pearl, and I'd be happy and letting the children be happy, but I'm really that hurt girl, aren't I? You know, and that's okay. If you're human, you hurt. That's just one thing. We all go through it. And I spent probably several Christmases being that.
Did you wait till Christmas to be that girl?
Well, Christmas is supposed to be so happy, you see. So I'd really look at my feelings and how do I really feel.
So is it like a, you think it's like an expectation yin yang kind of thing? Like this is supposed to be happy day. So it's easy for people to be like, today is a sad day.
Well, it could be just because there's that expectation of happiness, you know?
Yeah.
Or just it's a time to choose more of, well, I don't know. Maybe I don't deserve to be happy today.
Because if it was National Poopy Feelings Day, I wonder if we'd all be really pumped and jazzed.
Yeah, I think that there's this level of perfection.
Yes.
Like, wow, this is the culmination of all my decoration, of all
my
candles.
My life should be perfect and it's not.
Everything. Yeah, so if you get this day of perfection and you think, well, actually, you know, I can't tick the box that everything went well for me this year.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I'm falling into that now coming up to Christmas. I come to that little bucket thought will come into my head. Hey, you know, you'd be almost, the first miscarriage I had this year, you'd be almost delivering in January.
Oh,
you know, how can you be happy on Christmas Day when there's a due date coming around? And I'll be like, no stinking way. I will not wear that identity. I will not wear that identity. That's not who I am because the Sovereign Lord chose a different path for me and that baby still lives, but I'm on this exciting new journey. I'm right in the will of God. I am celebrating.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Christmas Day is probably expectation-wise worse than Valentine's Day because for Valentine's Day, it's just like I'm supposed to be the princess for this man and then I'm not and it's like boo-hoo. But Christmas is like not only am I supposed to be the princess on Christmas Day, but also I'm supposed to have the kind of money that I want to give for my kids to them to have the presence of my dreams or whatever I want to give them. There's like layer upon layer
of expectations.
Your house is tied in, right?
Oh,
the decorations, right?
I do remember this. Charlie and I, early on, as soon as we had children, we said to each other, and it made so much sense, let's not worry about giving each other gifts. Let's just, because we never had a lot of money, let's just focus on the children. And I cannot tell you how many years I secretly hoped that he would
surprise me.
Yeah. But he's a logical guy, you know?
You guys had shaken hands.
We'd already shaken hands on it.
Yeah. We made a plan together.
And so I didn't get my surprise. And so I'd be, I couldn't tick the surprise books then, could I? So I'm not going to show my full happiness. I'm not going to wear that because life's hard, you know, isn't it? Life's hard. But you know what? As we've walked into, you know, this whole I'm that girl journey, I think what Serene's saying is the danger of wearing that is because then if you're wearing that, you're not wearing something else. And what is it that we're supposed to wear?
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
It says,
for me.
What can I finish?
Yes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
What is good for our bodies? And what does the Bible tell us? It tells us to wear a merry heart. Mm. I mean, it tells us to be full of joy. It tells us to give thanks continually. Mm. And if we're wearing that slightly sad, well, I'm slightly miffed, I'm slightly, or I'm fully ripped off, or I'm you know, I deserve a little sadness today, especially on the day of expectations when everyone should be happy, then we're not wearing the other. And the other is what we should be wearing every day, but especially Christmas Day.
Well, I think that's exactly, I think that's so on the nail, Pearl. I think it's so on the nail. Because for me as a believer, I feel like it all comes down to let me decrease and let him increase, yeah. Christ increase. Because I feel like when I go through something and I think it's hard, so like when I walk into Walmart or Costco, it's like, you know, step aside. You know, it's whatever.
I'm going through something.
She's here.
Well, actually was walking through Costco very, very slowly, yeah. Bleeding like a freak out to the point where I'm like, I was walking around like I was 85. I shouldn't have been out there Christmas shopping, but I was. And I was pushing my big Costco cart and I was walking very slowly. And this lady hoofed behind me and said, you couldn't walk any slower, could you?
Like, no way.
And I thought to myself, instead of just being like, oh, this lady doesn't understand and she's just busy and, you know, she just doesn't know joy. Instead of just rubbing it off, I just got all like a tear running down my eye, feeling sorry for myself. Like, she doesn't know what I'm going through.
She doesn't know that you're the main character in this drama.
Yes, right. That's
you have entered the scene and there is a crew and a cast and you're the lead character.
Yes. So anyway, but I realized, let me decrease, let him increase. It's not about what I'm going through. It's about what he went through for me. What did he go through? He went through everything for my redemption so that when I'm going through something, I can act like a redeemed woman and say, hey, my life is great. I see wholeness. Mm. I see favor. I imagine me healed. And through the cross, I can claim it right now. And I love it. And my dad and Pearl's dad has been so inspiring right now. He's walking through, you know, he's 80 and he's walking through some health issues, even though he's really in great health. It's just something he didn't take care of in time. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a little bit expressing itself right now. But he was in a way worse way than I was.
But he's actually getting so much better.
So much better. Now I'll tell you why he's getting better. It's a miracle of the Lord and we're praying for him. But his attitude, he will not wear it. Okay, so his kidneys were basically, I'm not saying are, but were, basically in failure mode. And I'd be like, he wasn't concentrating about him. He'd come over and sit down in front of me and sing songs about, he sung this hymn about the lady that was had the bleeding and that touched the hem of God. So this cute little hymn and he sung for me. Anyway, but every time, Pearl, I bet you can confess this, and every time I or you have asked him, how are you doing, Dad? Oh, I'm great. I'm having a great day. I'm definitely better today than I was yesterday. Better today. And his identity was always, I'm walking out of it. That he hasn't stayed in it long, has he? And I think a lot of his healing has come through his identity that he is not going to wear, I'm the man who's going down.
Right, he's not going to wear, I'm the man who's going down. Now, some people could be listening and saying, well, Pearl and Serene, that's just denial. You know, people even lose loved ones around Christmas. Should they not be sad? Well, I think there's grief, and that's natural part. As we've said here, grieving is good. Grieving is natural. But even in grieving, there's a joy.
Yeah,
there can be a joy beyond what we even understand.
Well, it said, blessed are those who are mourned because they should be comforted. And what I realized that those who are mourned, that comes who mourn, that comes first, they shall be comforted. So the actual resolving of that verse is they shall be comforted. So that means I will receive comfort. You will receive comfort. Those who are mourned will receive comfort. And when you feel comforted, the mourning changes. It is not this desperate, lonely feeling because you're comforted. You feel this hug, this embrace, this warmth, this almost it's all better now kind of thing. Not that the tenderness goes away, but I realized with what I walked through is I no longer can identify as the girl who is mourning, but the girl who's comforted.
Wow.
And so I think,
and there's a time for that though too, isn't there?
Right. Yes. Yeah. I feel like mourning is great. And he says, blessed are those that mourn. So we're allowed to mourn.
Yes.
But then we're going to be comforted. So we can't always identify with this terrible thing happened. I am still in mourning. Now it's time to identify as the comforted one.
Wow. That's huge. Dan, you want to say something? Because you've been sitting there and looking.
You know, this is one of those moments where I'm just learning so much from the gals that I'm like unprepared to say things. Oh. But you know, one thought I had was that I know we can, I think there's definitely a time to grieve, but we can also, I think there is a type of grief that we don't need to do. And that's the grief that we think, like if we've lost a loved one, we think that the right thing to do would be to grieve.
Yes.
That we owe it to them. If we really love them, we would grieve.
And especially around Christmas, if things happen around that time.
We would not let Christmas go ungrieved.
Yeah.
And there's a difference, I think, between I truly like, oh yeah, man, he's not here. She's not here.
Yes,
or whatever.
That's tough.
Versus, remember to grieve because it's my way of it meaning that I really love them. And I think that like that loved one who's gone on in that example, like, man, do you think they want you to grieve?
Right.
Do you think right now they're thinking, I sure hope they're grieving.
No, I don't think
that's always helped me, you know, to picture them wanting, like I've lost friends and family I picture them telling me to stop. Like, no, rejoice. Like I've had my second birthday and you're coming too.
Right. Yeah.
Relax.
And it's so true. And when I said, you know, move on to the one that identifies as the one that's now comforted,
that's huge
I don't
to
want
me.
You to think that that means it happened once. I've moved on now. I'm the comforted one. And it's never going to happen in little fresh spurts. I think it's totally natural. And I've even done it in my small way. Like, I'm wanting you to hear and understand. I'm putting my what I've gone through in a very small way compared to what I have known friends who have lost 2-year-olds and lost, you know, so I'm putting mine in a small way. But even in my situation,
I'll be in the shower, and
I'll be just thinking happy thoughts and all of a sudden a wave will come over me of a loss. And I think it's totally good and healthy. And sometimes I'll just have a good 10-second, like, not depressed boohoo, but a beautiful, tender, let the tears roll. But then in that moment, I also realize before I leave the shower, I'm going to move on to the comforted one. Yeah. I'm not going to leave that shower uncomforted. Yeah. And I move out and back into my life. No, I'm the comforted one. So I think freshly, if it comes to Christmas time and it's around the time maybe that you lost something it still comes in waves. Don't feel guilty for that. And there is a redeemed way of crying. Mm-hmm. And then there is a dark way of crying, mm-hmm. you know? And I think when the redeemed way is without depression, and then you don't leave without realizing you're comforted.
Yeah. That's huge about that. You know, blessed are they who's mourned. But then that's huge. I've never thought of that, for they shall be comforted. Mm. It doesn't stop at mourning. It ends in being comforted,
and
right?
And that was a word too that you had for one of our dear, dear, dear friends who lost a baby, a stillbirth baby, and who's expecting a beautiful baby again now. And Ernest, you had a word that there was a you could
me
explain it, but just how that
it sounds like I was prophesying over it.
You're just saying that there was a season and that you walked through that, and that was it was so right the way you honored her for her mourning, but that she was coming into a time of joy. And
I had a verse for
healthy.
Her
what was that verse? But each one is healthy, and to move on to the new time of joy is it's not moving out of the health of honoring that.
I remember the verse. This is what I had for her. For therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing out of Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. For they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. But you see, there was sorrow and mourning.
Yes.
But then joy is actually something that we obtain. Mm-hmm. It doesn't actually just, you know, float down from the acorn tree and sit on our heads. We actually decide to embrace it, you know, and we decide, no, we are the comforted ones. Yeah. So, and I know so many people out there, I guess we're speaking to those today who say, you know, Christmas is actually the hardest time for me, or it's the hardest time for our family. And, you know, we want to acknowledge the hurt. We want to acknowledge your loss, and we want to acknowledge that tough things can happen. But, you know, which girl are you? We want to say there's actually a whole different way to live. Mm. What if you're that girl who Christmas is the most awesome time for you, just because it's wonderful for your family, just because it's another reason to have joy? And guess who we are?
Yeah.
We're joy grabbers.
Yes.
In life. We did a whole party about being joy grabbers. I mean, I'm that girl who grabs joy. So every single chance I get, I want
to grab it. That's my rap group name.
Joy grabbers. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
I'm Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
You
helped me, Danny, be a joy grabber.
No.
Yes, you do. You did. You did. You did. And I actually replied to you on a text.
Oh, yeah.
And it kept on saying, not delivered. I replied 17 times. It says, try again, try again.
Oh,
I tried again.
Oh, the text I sent.
Yes.
I felt that joker
okay,
too,
so
man.
Okay, so me being a purist. Now, this is the last.
Oh, you felt that she didn't reply.
No, no, not that
she told me
reply.
To tell Danny that she replied and I forgot.
No, as I was typing, I was just like, ooh, I'm saying some stuff
oh,
I want
to
say.
Oh, you were so good. I read it aloud to Sam. It helped me so much. It helped me so much. You were like
no
the
way.
King of the helper.
Okay.
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 So she even told me to say
this
you
This is the last
her.
Narcissist. I just want to stop talking about I don't want it to be my identity like I'm the girl that talks about this.
Yeah, but
okay?
Serene, you're, it's your party.
But no.
This is your podcast.
I want my party to be not about me. But I just want to say, okay, so joy grabbing, you know, I'm the purest type, right? I don't want to. I don't even take ibuprofen.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like I don't take anything for anything. So I had to end up having a surgery to help take the retained yeah. placenta from the it was just in there for way too long, tried everything and nothing worked. So I was there being prepped for the DNC and my husband couldn't be with me because of the yeah. COVID crazy. And I just started a wave. I hadn't cried about it for a good while, like my head was in a very comforted space. But all of a sudden this wave came over me and it was not the healthy redeemed wave. It was a wave like, oh, the loss.
Yeah.
And now, if that wasn't enough, all the bleeding for these months, and if that wasn't enough, I took their crazy drugs. If that wasn't enough, now I'm here in this ultrasound room. The surgery room, and I'm about to like be put under and blah, blah, blah.
And if that wasn't enough, that surgery didn't you work and you had to have another
one. But I realized, oh, you girl of the wrong identity. This is the moment to grab joy. And I remember deciding it was obtaining, like you said, they shall yeah.
obtain
gladness of joy. So I just decided to go out and obtain me some joy. And I said, no self. No, mm-hmm. self, you are so blessed. Your baby lives. Your baby lives. Your baby lives. And do you know what else? You were so lucky to be in this hospital. It's clean. And those needles over there, they have never been used before. And you're
That's
not
right.
in some Guatemala slum. Ooh. You know, oh, no, not in bad
sorry
way.
Sorry to our
no,
Guatemalan
no,
friends.
No, 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 no. It could be India. It could be anywhere. But
oh,
what
okay.
I'm saying.
But only those two countries.
Hey, it wasn't in Nashville. It could be New Zealand where I came from.
No, like it could have been Guatemala or India or somewhere in Africa or...
somewhere not here.
No, but I'm just saying.
But she
China,
is saying
put it
poor
this way.
Poor
I've
pots.
Had this wonderful friend who had yes. 5 C-sections in China.
Yeah.
And they were like graphic, awful C-sections and she could feel most of it and she was left to like recover like in a very, very bad, non-professional way. So all I'm just saying, I was so grateful and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And... it's not in the pioneer times where I could have been like on my wagon heading yeah. west for my dream and dying because I'm bleeding to death and they're just going to be like bury me on the way under
and your
some
husband's
rock.
Like doing his best
yeah.
with some gauze.
Right. I could have
which
been.
Which isn't gauze. It was actually a ripped t-shirt.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, they didn't have t-shirts.
Oh.
It was a ripped moccasin
thing. But my point being is fur. So many women died. Bleeding to death after childbirth. And I'm like, I am so blessed. I'm not dying. And I grabbed me some joy. And then that surgery was not all that I needed to go through. And I had to go through something else. And just before I went, and it was just like 3 days later, just before I went to the surgery, I'm like, I just couldn't put it into words.
You couldn't
Danny
even tell
bing.
Us about the surgery. Pearl had to tell us.
No, and Danny went bing, bing on my phone. And it's like, hey, mate, just want to tell you, my mum just went through this life-saving surgery. It's amazing what doctors can do to these days. And I just want to tell you, you know, that God's in it, man. I reckon God loves this stuff. I reckon, because, you know, I'm all pure. He's like,
yeah,
no,
it
I
is
think,
the miracle.
It is the miracle.
Yeah.
It is the miracle. And then he said something about... Just realize, I always think when I have to go in medical situations like that, like I just escape from some ISIS where all my legs are getting bombed off or anything, and they finally grab me and they put me in a helicopter, and my I come to and the doors are opening of this clean, shiny, bright light hospital.
Yeah,
and you're
I
like,
made it back
I
to America.
Made it.
Yeah,
all
I'm
I had
safe.
To do now is talk to these lovely people that are so sweet.
You almost quoted it exactly.
And you know what? That really worked for Serene because Serene's such a visual analogy person.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I am too. And I literally, if I go to the hospital, I don't care. If it's to get my blood drawn, I go into panic mode. I am upset and afraid like a two-year-old who has to like fight a dragon. Like, it's terrible. I hate medical so much. But that's my fix, is I pretend that when I make it to the hospital, I just left the most horrific war and I'm saved and everybody's still back there suffering, but I made it back to America and I'm in an American
hospital.
You came
out of your Guatemala slum.
Yeah, and I'm good and I'm safe. Yeah, that's right.
No, but it's identity changing. Yeah. And it's not like just your stupid games you're playing in the head, but in the serious part of it, you can be the one who just only realizes the loss, or you can be the girl who identifies with all that she has gained and all the good side of it.
But yeah, I mean, Serene, at the end of the day, it's all head games. I mean, I heard a quote about how like every problem in the world has come from wrong thinking.
Oh, I believe it, Dan.
Has come from the somebody's mind thinking wrong about something, some lack of truth.
And that's why, you know, the scriptures are just so current, even though they're so ancient, where it says, you know, and this is King James, gird up the loins of thy mind, you know, the loins. But the loins are those pieces that drop on the bottom, get dirty, the filthy, junky, stupid, stinking thinking.
Another one is the hem up. Yes. Hem up the loins of your garment. It's all those, just the places that get all, like Pearl said, like all stinky.
Well, and it's this idea of making a conscious choice. Well, no, because I feel this way. It's like, yeah, hem it up. Grab it. Do it.
Yeah.
Make a change.
And that's good in relationships, even at Christmas time too. Like you said, a lot of your boohoo Christmases were because things weren't quite right. You know, like with the way maybe you'd been treated.
Yeah, and I didn't get my surprise present. And you, a really good husband would do a surprise present, wouldn't he? I mean, even if the wife said, no, don't get me anything.
So we're not talking. I feel like I need to go shopping pretty soon.
We're not talking about abuse here in situations where you need to remove yourself.
No.
And even in those situations, you can remove yourself from bitterness and from unforgiveness.
True. But you've got to remove yourself.
Right. But I'm talking about situations where it just hem up. Like you said, it's a mind game. You can do mind games where you think that your husband is like the loser, or you can do mind games that tells you that, you know.
And here's another one, the practical side of Christmas this year. You know, if you wake up in the morning on Christmas Day and you're that girl, you know, who maybe, man, I really miss all those Christmas treats we used to have, right? Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
It's really sad that I really can't eat those without
those little
guilt
cookies
anymore.
And those tins.
Without guilt. Now I have to have all this guilt about it. Or you know, or I'm decide I'm not going to eat them. And, but I wish I could. You know, it's sort of sad, isn't it? It's a little bit sad. Or it is, you know, look at this wonderful food I get to eat because I'm deciding to just eat healthy this day. Or it is, look at the food I get to eat that I'm going to eat maybe once this year. It's all my old comfort food and it's going to give me vitamin P pleasure. And I'm not going to feel an ounce of guilt about it because I don't do it every single day.
Right.
But either way, you're going to put on a mind of joy about it rather than sadness.
So good.
There's two ways. I mean, you want to wake up and, you know, have all the things on Christmas Day or just some of the things, choose wisely, or none of the things you used to. There's three ways to do it, but all of them can be looked at with joy.
So good.
It's all mind games.
Yeah.
So hey, the ultimate victory with mind games is, I think, believing the truth. The truth
sets you free.
Absolutely sets you free. Yeah, like I mean, back to the grieving a lost loved one, and I'm not even going to balance it about like I know it's painful because I've lost loved ones too, so it's not like I'm sitting here safely on the couch,
right?
Having not gone through this. Yeah. I mean, I've lost multiple father figures, starting with the real one,
so,
you know, but when you know the truth, like let's say someone has passed on from this life. Well, what's the truth? Mm-hmm. Like, is the truth that I lost a love? Did you lose them? Are they gone forever?
Mm-mm.
Is that the truth? You know, even the phrase, I lost someone. Did you lose them? You know, well, what if you found them again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if the truth was that you didn't perish?
Yeah.
What if the truth was that that ceasing to exist was not a part of the universe, but that going on forever? What if the truth was that once you see the truth, of course there's no tears in that place because you're surrounded by the truth. There's no grief because grief has to do with temporal things. Grief has to do with not believing the truth, with thinking that you have something big has been taken from you. But that's not the truth.
But temporarily it has, because you know we feel the
loss.
Yes,
but what Dan is saying is that overarching thing, the overarching agony is this loss.
It's an eternal loss. There's an agony because something has happened. And it is forevermore.
Yeah. Right.
And so I think when you accept the truth that, yes, something has happened, yes.
But it's not forevermore.
It's not
forevermore. But you know what I'm thinking? And we probably need to close up now, and we're jumping all around, but I'm back to another point that we were on earlier, because I was thinking about this I was thinking about this last week, and then I was thinking about it more today. When you said words, like what about that word lost? You know, we think it over. And I was thinking about this phrase, and we were talking about hurt. You know, I woke up on many Christmases deciding to be I feel a little bit hurt, you know, because I'm human and humans get hurt.
Sometimes you go with family members that you haven't seen for a while.
Yeah,
Christmas
Day.
Going.
You know, you're going to wear that today. You're going to wear that familiar hurt. But then I thought about this, you know, that scripture, not that scripture, the phrase, take offense. We take it, right? But what if we don't take
good.
It?
That's really good, Pearl. I never thought about that.
We think it's so normal. Well, I took offense at that. You know, that's something to take offense over.
Did you put it in your special drawer?
Yeah, we take it and make it our precious. But what if we completely, what if we don't even take it and drop it? What if we don't take it at all?
Yeah. That's good.
That's how
that offense can't come onto you unless you take.
Yeah, that's how you really get back at your enemies, you know, is you don't take their offense.
Don't take it.
That's so good.
We have that choice. I mean,
I'm taking that for life. You know, you just gave me a Christmas present just then. Just the fact that it was even coined.
Take it.
Well, we think to ourselves, it has to come upon us because that's natural. Like we think, well, yeah, I'm going to take offense as that. Like we have no other alternative.
Yeah, after all, they did this. Therefore,
that's happened. 1 + 1 = 2. But to get offense, you have to take it.
Right.
It is something that is over there.
Take does not mean given.
Nah, you got to reach out and do the accepting of it. That was huge to me when I thought about that.
That's really good.
And Serena, as I started writing it, you know, we're working on that I'm That Girl book. We're so far, but I went back and I put it in a place and I'm
good.
Like, yeah.
I love that phrase, wipe the dust off your feet.
Yeah.
And like keep moving on. It's kind of the idea. Like,
just like keep moving.
Like I saw someone, I think it was this counselor lady. I can't remember her name, but like people wouldn't listen. She was part of a TV show and like some people would just harden their heart and not take her counsel. And she's trying to like save their marriage or whatever.
Yeah.
And they would reject what she said. And she would go, really? And she would wipe her hands off and stand up and that'd be the end of the show. She'd wipe her hands and she actually went on to say, because they would ask her about like why you always did that, and she said, I do a physical action. I have to let this go. I counsel too many people.
I
can't take on the pain of that broken marriage when all they got to do is do this tiny little thing to make this little adjustment and they'd have a successful marriage. If I took all my clients' pain on, I would be a miserable, I wouldn't be a good counselor. So she physically does an action after each thing when she gets rejected. She wipes her hands.
You know, physical actions are they're so biblical.
Yeah.
And they so work to actually. And I think that, who was it that told, was it you? No.
It's probably me.
Wasn't.
It was Danny's talked about the one where he.
No, it was you, but I actually
something
saw.
Something from his gut. And
Yes.
With his hand.
Yes, that was you. That
but think
one,
about
Dan.
Baptism. That's just a physical action saying what's going on in our spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It tells, well, the eye sees it.
Yeah.
The ear hears what you're doing. I mean, it hears the slapping.
So how about
off?
On Christmas Day, if family's around and we are, you know, about to take offense, how about we go into the bathroom and just do our hands? Not taking it.
And look at it when you
not
do it. Look at it,
man.
When you do it and just be like, it's not even on me. This isn't
good.
Mine.
This is not mine.
Yeah.
And then we don't have
eat
to feel
it,
the
Uncle
pain.
Harold.
And when the grief comes, just flipping off to the other side, when the grief comes and it's a redeemed grief, That's okay to think about that and to have a little tender cry or even a big tender cry.
Absolutely.
But if the grief comes and it's of darkness and it's of despair and it's of that this is forevermore gone from me.
If it comes with hopelessness.
Yeah. If it comes with hopelessness, you wipe that. Not wearing that today.
Anyway.
Not taking that. Mm-hmm. Not taking
when
it.
When hope is gone, you know that you're on the wrong path. Hey,
okay.
Sam Allison just showed up.
Oh, he's see ya, gorgeous. Everybody.
The legend.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. See ya.
credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.